This next story is about the illusion of normal, delusion of control, and the uncertainty of medical science in the realm of genetic testing. Most pregnant women in the U.S. are offered prenatal genetic screening with the idea that information about potential abnormalities can be acted upon by parents, including the decision to terminate a pregnancy, deemed abnormal, to avoid a future life of difficulties for the child and parents, or for whatever reason. The possibility of knowing ahead of time that her baby might have Down syndrome was offered to our next guest, Amy Julia Baker. She's in her early 30s. She's married, has two kids already. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
Explain how this was offered to you and what the context was in your own life of learning that you might be carrying a Down syndrome baby.
Well, my first daughter had Down syndrome, and we didn't learn that until after she was born. I was 28 years old at the time. So we had done some prenatal screening, which had indicated an increased risk for a child with Down syndrome, but the risk was 1 in 300, so neither my doctor nor the genetic counselor that we saw was particularly concerned, especially when a follow-up ultrasound showed no abnormalities. So when she was born, we were very shocked and surprised by that news. And then with subsequent pregnancies, we knew that even though I was still relatively young, my risk of having another child with Down syndrome had increased. And so we had to decide what we wanted to do with that knowledge.
Well, how
and
did you...
pregnant with my third child now. We have a two-year-old son who is typically developing. And in entering into this pregnancy, we had to decide what we were going to do about prenatal screening and testing. And we ultimately decided that we wanted to do everything we could to care for this baby. We wanted to know if there were any physical abnormalities, whether those were associated with Down syndrome or not, that might require a neonatologist at delivery or some other help along the way. But we knew that having experienced life with our daughter and also getting to know other people within the community who have Down syndrome, that we would be willing to welcome another child with Down syndrome into our family. And so prenatal screening and testing, simply to give us a choice about termination, didn't seem necessary.
How has your experience, and give us some detail if you could, how has your experience with your first child really transformed your decision to not consider termination in this third pregnancy?
We've just had a great experience with her, and again, in getting to know a whole number of people with Down syndrome and other disabilities. She's almost five. She's four and a half, and she's just a bright, funny, exciting, smart little girl who constantly makes us laugh, surprises us with what she's able to do, and has really transformed our understanding of what it means to be human, because she is more vulnerable. She does have more fragility in her body, and that's, I think, exposed the same that is true about us as her parents. And it's helped us to recognize the way that we're all dependent upon each other as human beings and how that can be a gift and not just a burden.
Hey, Amy, I can give you a little insight. We just celebrated a 45th birthday for, on my wife's side of the family, our Down syndrome cousin.
Oh, wow.
Lisa. And she's doing great. She had some of the physical problems that you describe, but she's hung in there, and she's just a real touchstone for the entire family.
Yep.
Amy, hold on there. We're going to welcome Barbara Katz Rothman, Dr. Rothman. She's a professor of sociology at the City University of New York. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
Do you think couples are presented with the information on genetic screening with the idea implicit that they would terminate, or is it more informational?
Well, you don't do this testing just for information. We didn't develop these kind of expensive, complicated, invasive, sometimes risky tests just to know. So the context in which this testing developed was back in the day when if a baby had Down syndrome, a likely fate was sort of chained to a wall at Willowbrook, and termination seemed like a really brilliant alternative. That was the context in which the testing was developed. It was developed about the terminations. There's really no other way to think about that.
Why has that lingered, even given the experiences that our other guest, Amy Julia Baker, has described and the likelihood that Down syndrome children will grow up in families and be productive members not only of the family but of society?
You're looking at a basic kind of medical notion of normality and abnormality, and a medical ideology that says if a baby's born with an abnormality, there's some kind of failure, that some system has failed, that babies should be born healthy, perfect, normal, whatever language you want to use, and the development of an enormous industry of testing in biomedicine. It's pretty impossible not to have some kind of screening, which, you know, it was Amy Julia's early experience, too, with the first pregnancy, right, that you do some testing, and most people, once they're sort of on that escalator, we're just going to have an ultrasound to make sure the baby's okay. Well, that's not, you know, if you're making sure the baby's okay, you're making sure the baby's not okay. So the testing towards the termination is incorporated into very early pregnancy now.
Well, but Amy, your first pregnancy was complicated because you got a false negative, right? I mean, that would seem to me to be part of the debate, is the chance that you're told that either your baby has no issues or that they do have issues and they don't.
Well, there's a difference between prenatal screening and prenatal diagnosis. In my case, I just did the screening test, which simply gives me a probability based on hormones in my blood, based on fetal markers and the ultrasound, and they said, based on what we're seeing on this ultrasound and the hormones in your blood, we don't think your baby has Down syndrome. But we also, that's 80 to 90% successful. So in my mind, we got a false negative, but in technical terms, we did not.
So, Amy, this is a tough question to ask. Clearly, your view of all of this has changed because of your experience with your first child. But I'm wondering if they told you definitively that you were carrying a Down's child when you were a first-time couple with your first pregnancy, if you would have made a different decision?
You know, and that, honestly, the answer is no. We would have been far more terrified at our decision than we would be this time around because we were so ignorant at the time. But that was the reason we did not follow up the ultrasound with an amniocentesis, which is the much more definitive test that will give an actual diagnosis. But we knew that we, again, were not looking for a child or hoping for a child with Down syndrome at that point, but at the same time, we were willing to receive whatever child was given to us, so to speak.
Well, Amy Julia Becker, thanks so much for your candor and good luck. She has two children, one with Down syndrome, chosen not to test her current pregnancy for Down syndrome. And Barbara Katz-Rothman, a doctor, professor of sociology at City University of New York, thanks so much for helping us with context here.
Thank you.
And you can actually give us your own stories about what you're faced or actually are facing this question. Walk us through the decision that you've made. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. And all this week, the other stories we're looking for are from small business owners. We're checking in with you to find out how you've been coping with the recession and if you're hiring. Our number, 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.